Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Great idea. If you were listening yesterday, well, bless your little heart. If you weren't, why weren't you? All right, this is not a pop quiz. But we got, it was really busy yesterday, so if you were trying to get through yesterday, you may have been getting a busy signal. But as I mentioned yesterday, calling at the beginning of an hour is always a good idea. So there you go. I was just trying to decide whether or not to talk about this. I was talking with Trevor and said, how you doing? He said, well, he got to sleep late. So that was good. And I actually just got a call from a friend who was supposed to have a stent put in today. And he called to tell me he didn't need the stent. So that's pretty good. That's a lot of good news pretty early. The thing that came to mind, I didn't know if I was going to talk about it, but I guess once I've launched into it, I need to talk about it. It was an interesting phenomenon. I went to see a play last night with a friend, which I'll review for you next week, and was taking the train home, which is pretty common. And there was a very, very large, tall and heavy person who was sprawled out sleeping on one. It was taking up maybe 7 or 8 seats on the subway, on one of the benches. And he wasn't bothering anybody. I mean, he was asleep, and he wasn't doing some of the kinds of things. He wasn't drooling particularly, and he wasn't particularly odoriferous. But people tend to sort of sit away from somebody like that with the idea of being at any particular moment that this person is clearly not going along with the general rules of society. So you don't know exactly what's going to happen. So especially in a crowded situation, people tend to give a fairly wide berth. And halfway down the subway car from this dude were two fairly well-dressed people who looked like suburban. They were in the city for the evening, and they had a bag from a grocery store, from Whole Foods, I think it was. No, it was Zabar's. And we're happily chatting, and all of a sudden, I look over, and she's taking one of the bags. They had double bagged her stuff, and she's taking one off, and he is scrambling with something, and I'm sitting across from them. And there was clearly a certain amount of panic, and I thought, well, maybe they lost something, or at which point he tosses his cookies into the hastily acquired extra bag, which was kind of alarming because part was the contrast. You've got this one guy who was clearly a homeless guy sleeping on the subway, not very clean, but not really being much of a problem to anybody except he was taking up such a large amount of space. And here are these very well-dressed suburban little people, and he's barfing all over the car. And, I mean, everybody, the contrast and the expectations were so, it took everybody a couple of minutes to figure out, or a couple of, probably not a couple of minutes, but a couple of seconds to kind of adjust, because the behavior we were expecting from one person was clearly something that was adopted by the other person. And what I did was, we were actually at a stop at that moment. We were at Times Square. And I said to her, who's rubbing his back, don't you want to get off the train? I mean, because he was clearly quite distressed, to say the least, not to mention barfing. And she said, no, it's only one more stop. And at which point I always carry, I'm the mother of the universe, so I carry like extra Kleenex and napkins, stuff like that. So I gave her some. And he is continuing to retch, and they were just going one stop. So when they got to the stop, I'd gotten some more Kleenex for her, and I said, well, I'll hold the door for you. And he's got this huge bag full of, and I remember thinking, man, that is very, this is going to sound a little, this is very kind of liquidy. And so everybody gets back, I get back into the car because I'm going farther down, and we've now become a community, all of us in this car, because we've gone through this experience together. And this very kind of dapper man with a bow tie and the whole thing says, too much to drink. And I said, you think? Because I just thought he'd gotten some bad shellfish or something. And he said, yeah, you could smell him. It never even occurred to me, but it did occur that the sound effects were much more liquid than one would have expected. So it was just this kind of weird urban experience. And I remember thinking that a whole bunch of things had happened in this little kind of microcosm. And I guess part of it was the play I had seen was about a gay daughter realizing her father's gay and he suicides. So that was a little bit of gritty life, I guess. And the movie that I'd seen before that was about a 19-year-old heroin addict. So I'd had my artistic fill of the dark side, and then to have be confronted by it, and it wasn't even a confrontation because it didn't have anything to do with me. It was surrounded by, I guess, three things. First of all, somebody who was clearly one of the unfortunates, right? I mean, he was sleeping on the train, which meant he didn't have a place to stay. He was certainly not going to be in the pages of GQ anytime soon, but he was benign. I mean, he was taking up a lot of space, and if a cop had come along, he would have rousted him, because you're not allowed to do that. But then the contrast between this guy who was clearly homeless, and the expectation was that at any particular moment that he could do something that was antisocial, and this couple who looked like they were probably, I mean, they could have been missionaries, and he had probably drunk too much, as my friend with the bow tie sort of cleverly surmised. I didn't. I just assumed he got some bad shellfish or something, which is naive on my part, because basically food poisoning takes about 8 hours before you're really going to get sick on it. And was clearly had sort of come to a completely different conclusion. And I guess the third thing, or maybe there's four, the third thing was that the guy who did the diagnosis, who was not the least bit sympathetic, he just said he drank too much. And then the fourth thing, which is that all of us in that car had become a community, sort of by default, that we'd all participated in this experience, and we all sort of felt like we knew each other, and we made eye contact, and we gave rueful smiles to one another. But it was really, I guess it was one of those things. It's part of the pleasure and the pain, I guess, of living in a big city and being on public transportation. You know, I would miss it greatly, I think, in my life. And I know that cities that don't have public transportation, where everybody's in their own car, are much less prone to those kinds of things. But for me, I guess, it's kind of it's so many things all at the same time. It's an awareness of how lucky we are on some level to have a place to sleep and have a place to take a shower and get clean clothes. It's a place to understand that when you're tired, any place will do. To understand that that even people who aren't in dire circumstances can put themselves in harm's way and put themselves in a situation that is basically socially unacceptable. And I suppose the bottom line for me was how kind human beings are to one another. Given a choice, given the option, that nobody was sort of making faces at the guy. He was a sleepy eye. I don't think he would have cared. And people did give him a wide berth, but nobody was tusking or sort of calling the cops or taking pictures or doing any of the kind of wretched things that I suppose people could do when they feel superior to somebody. That when the people that we least expected to be acting out on some level were, that there was a certain amount of kindness that you could argue cynically that, well, if they'd been dirty, if the guy who was obviously homeless had been throwing up, there would have been a completely different response. And I'm not disagreeing with that. But still, that people's response to somebody who was creating a social disturbance, because whatever else he was doing, that's what he was doing, was basically kindness. But, and I suppose I'm kind of the bad example of the goody two shoes who says, oh, well, you poor thing. And the guy in the bow tie saying, reality check, he just gave himself acute alcohol intoxication. So for me, it was kind of a microcosm. I know, it's kind of interesting. I guess the entire world is my lab. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at 11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded 16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The 20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hi, Coast to Coast listeners. I'm Kay Zwirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of George Norrie because his topics and guests are fascinating and really get you thinking. George is just as bothered as I am by all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life, to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX, which together are called the Healthy Start Pack. I recommend you go online to criticalhealthnews.com to purchase these products. That's criticalhealthnews.com or call 855-949-RADIO.
Need advice? Dr. Joy Brown is here to help at 855-99-DR-JOY.
You know, we talk so much, especially after Baltimore, about the mob mentality and people coming together and bringing out the worst in one another. And it just occurred to me as I was thinking about my subway experience last night that maybe what we should put up on Facebook, and I would love for you guys to call because I think the descriptions may be kind of unwieldy for Facebook, of tell me a situation, a group situation that turned out differently than you expected, either positive or negative. Obviously, my little do-gooder heart hopes that we'll get a whole lot of positive, but the idea where a bunch of people came together as a group unexpectedly, okay? Let me know. I've experienced it before, like when I do I do the runs every once in a while. I do it for breast cancer or for, you know, if I have a friend who calls up and says, will you come and speak at this, or will you run with us, or will you walk with us, or whatever, I tend to, as you know, have a hard time saying no. And there is something about that group situation that is where the whole is larger than the sum of the parts. So I just thought, you know, maybe you guys could share that with me as well. Trevor, I don't know exactly how you're going to put that up, but we'll work on. Oh, and Trev, so you had decided to take the Snap Challenge along with me,
mm-hmm.
and you were saying, oh, this is easy because my girlfriend and I we're starving to begin with, and so, you know, this is easy. So tell me what your experience has been so far.
I found that maybe I was a little more kind of, gave myself a little more credit than maybe I deserved. When I actually went down to kind of crunching the numbers, it was pretty challenging.
It is, isn't it? It takes longer.
Yeah, yep.
And Manny was saying the same thing. He started it yesterday. And he didn't want to do all of his shopping at one time, but he's keeping track. And that $42, now the two of you together would get $84.
Mm-hmm.
But still, as I said when I was doing it, when I said to the clerk, okay, I can't go over 42, she said, well, put the things you want in first. So mm-hmm. tell me where the difficulty lays for you.
Ingredients. Like, it was surprising how fast fruits and veggies kind of added up.
Yeah.
We got chicken, although we tend to shop at Aldi, which are there many, I don't know if there are many Aldis on.
I don't even know. What's an Aldi?
It's a grocery store. It's super kind of small. It has, I wouldn't say like limited goods, but they kind of change a lot. I think it's originally a German company.
Is it a co-op or something like that or not?
No, it's kind of a typical grocery store. They just do not advertise, and they don't carry any name brand, anything. It's all Aldi brand,
okay.
Everything. And it's okay. I mean, the quality is good. Just, you know, 1 week they might not have X and they'll have Y instead.
Like Costco is that way too. That
yeah.
They have what they have. And although the prices, I think, have gone up humongously at Costco, but it used to be that if they had it, you're getting a great deal on it. It's just that you couldn't count on them having it any particular week.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So we shop there, so kind of originally, you know, we're already starting out with a bit of an advantage.
Sure.
But
as opposed to my grocery store, which was, you weren't here when I mentioned that the arugula I bought, which is one of my splurges,
mm-hmm.
I found for $2 cheaper at a store in Harlem, which
oh,
really,
no.
I'm going to go back to that store and just complain.
There
but at any rate, keep going.
Yeah, so we bought a bag of frozen chicken, which was kind of one of our more expensive items.
Yeah.
But you got to get that protein, otherwise, you know, a meal's not very filling.
Well, I did it with eggs. I did it with eggs and beans and rice. So, I do the same thing you do. I buy, as I said, Boca burgers. I buy chicken in great things, and then just put them in the freezer. And I will poach the chicken or, you know, bake it or whatever, and it'll last for months. But I figured that because I was only doing it for a week, I had chicken here, but I thought, you know, I didn't want to use anything I had, and I agree with you about protein, but I used eggs and cheese and a little bit of yogurt because I just couldn't afford the meat. I could have gotten enough ground beef to do spaghetti, but I really didn't want to eat 7 days of spaghetti.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, all right, so yeah, protein's expensive, and the fruits and vegetables are the first casualty.
Yeah, they really are, but that's where you get all your nutrients, so we kind of made it happen, anyhow.
It's harder to do than you think it's going to be, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it takes more time. That was the thing that was most interesting to me, is because I'm a pretty prudent shopper to begin with, but prudent and having to make sure that there is no more than $42 in your cart are a different ballgame. I hope some of you other guys are doing this, just because it'll increase your awareness, I think, and hopefully your sympathy and just how difficult it is that the money in and of itself, I mean, it's just green inert stuff that lies there, right? It doesn't, except that it buys you things like not having to spend so much time pricing everything. It buys you the convenience of knowing you've got enough in your wallet that if something's mismarked because it's 5 cents higher, it doesn't have to go back. I mean, it buys you just a little bit more comfort and a little bit more time, a little more ease, for lack of a better word. And this, the restriction really is, it is restricting, surprisingly so. Because I would have, I sort of thought, well, I know $42, and we took the high number because sometimes it's 29, and I figured I don't want people saying, well, if I only had 42, it would have been easier. 42 is the high number, and it's still surprisingly difficult, very time consuming. And my whole thing was, as we talked about, everything had to coordinate, and I was very pleased about my coordination. In that everything that I have will basically mix and match, whether the arugula and the avocado and the olives and the cheese and the yogurt can all either be with an egg or with a baked potato or on a salad or in a wrap. So I'm sort of, I will have used up most of the stuff by the end of the week, because that was the other goal is, if you have to eat it all in 7 days, and I have to add actually a half a day extra because somebody took me out for one of the meals, which in theory, I mean, you can be taken out for a meal even if you're on food stamps, but you can't count on it. So I had to add an extra meal. But so hopefully you guys are doing it as well, as opposed to just looking at us as, well, why are they doing that? And the answer is to increase awareness and a little bit of sensitivity, and also just to kind of walk a mile in somebody else's pantyhose. Speaking of which, there's a new study out, which is really interesting, because my daughter and I have had this discussion about whether or not, you know, the notion is that education is the way out of poverty. And this new study says that basically, well, I'll ask you, although you probably know the answer because you helped me put together the thing, of what one of the major problems of escaping poverty is. Do you want to guess?
But I think I otherwise would have said probably education, the quality of job you can get a hold of.
Yeah. It turns out to be transportation. And my computer has frozen again.
Now that I found that, it's actually not surprising.
Yeah, my daughter and I, as I said, have had this discussion because she served on a jury in D.C. And she and I have both, we have both feel very strongly that that education is the way out. But what both of us couldn't understand is it's not really quite that simple, in that it turns out that the amount of time that you're either commuting or getting to to an education source is crucial in how you can escape poverty one way or the other. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution.
With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience four full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times bestselling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Have a question? Need advice? Dr. Joy Brown is here to help at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Hi, Dr. Joy. It's really an honor to speak with you today.
Thanks. I'm going to help you, Lisa.
Well, this is kind of a selfish question. I'm wondering how is it okay to be disappointed with the lack of celebration of Mother's Day by teenage children?
Sure.
So how do I communicate that without coming across as being a unhappy, unbearable mom?
Okay. Tell me, how old are your kids?
They're 18 and 15.
What happened? Anything?
There was a hug and I love you, Mom, but I guess as a model for them, I've always tried to help them show how important it is to be appreciative toward people, and I guess I shouldn't have those expectations, and perhaps that's why I'm disappointed. But a card, a bunch of roses, a bunch of daisies.
Are you a single parent or married?
No, I'm not. I'm married, and Dad cooked the dinner, and we did have a family meal, but it wasn't even. That's a pretty typical thing.
For Dad to cook dinner?
Right. So it wasn't like it was, you know, let's do a nice dinner for Mom, it's Mother's Day kind of thing.
Okay. Let me walk you through this step by step, because you're certainly not alone, number one. But let me sort of give you one of my favorite sayings, which is expectation is the death of serenity.
Yeah.
That if you had not expected anything and your kids came up and said, Mom, I love you, and gave you a hug, you probably would have thought it was a great day. So you need to be careful about that, so those expectations, because expectations say a lot about you and nothing about the kids, number one. Number two, if you really want them to do something, then I think it's a really good idea before the situation to say, listen, Mother's Day is a big deal in this society, and I know they make a big fuss about it, and, you know, this is what I would like. Because if you're like a lot of women, you said, oh, it's a big deal, and you know, they make a lot of fuss about it, don't do anything for me. And what you really meant is do something. And kids don't necessarily figure that out. My mother is certainly one of those people who does that. And my mother's sort of, in theory, her intellectual stance is, if you don't make a fuss about me the other 364, what do I care about the one day? On the other hand, if you don't make a fuss, you are in deep doo-doo. So
Right. Make
sure you're not giving them a mixed message.
Okay.
But if it's really important to you, it may be appropriate not only to talk. How do they do, for example, on your birthday?
About the same.
Right. Are these boys or girls?
No, they're girls, surprisingly,
okay.
And they're actually very sensitive young women.
Then I'll tell you what I would do. I would say, guys, here's the deal. I make a big deal for you guys on your birthday, and I would really like there to be more of a fuss. I don't expect you to necessarily put your allowance into meltdown, but I would really like a card from you or some kind
of... Even a handwritten letter would be nice.
then tell them that. But I think the deal is, kids, look, Mother's Day has come and gone, but let me give... Because if nothing else, you're giving them the model about how to deal with the men in their life. And it's very likely that you learned this from your mother, who didn't do anything but was angry about it. So saying to your mom, or saying to your kids, look, I'm a mom let me go on record, that for Mother's Day, Salmania's birthday, the 4th of July, Arbor Day, my birthday, my anniversary, it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be something that you buy, but an acknowledgement, you know, writing a card, drawing a picture, making a little clay handprint, something out of the ordinary would really make me a much happier mom.
Okay.
Okay?
That's great advice.
Good enough. Greg, what's on your mind?
I got an issue with, it's an issue, but my girlfriend and I had a misunderstanding a while back, a little argument, and toward the end of the argument, she kind of blurted out at me, you know, you need to go to anger management. And
why?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, I would ask her, I mean, did you hit her?
No, absolutely not.
Did you get anywhere near? Did you shove her? Did you?
No, physical confrontation whatsoever.
Okay.
That's totally not who I am at all.
Did you? Did you holler?
Well, what it was we had talked, and then I separated. I walked out and I left, and came back later on, about an hour later, and I thought everything was fine. Everything was good to go, and then that morning I took her to work, and we had a long conversation prior to her getting to work. And thinking again, everything was fine, to come to find out it wasn't. And she came back to me later on and saying some things that I thought were resolved issues, but apparently they weren't.
But Greg, let me just sort of reiterate what you've told me with a slightly different sort of twist on it, which is the two of you had an argument. Instead of getting it resolved, you left.
Correct.
Then when you came back, you didn't deal with it. You just assumed that it was all taken care of. And so I think what may be a little confusing to you is usually when people say you have anger issues, what they mean is that your anger is out of control. What she means in this particular case is you can't deal with my anger or your own. When I get angry, you leave, and whatever you're feeling, you just suppress so that nothing ever changes. So I think that she was not particularly good at communicating what she meant. I don't think you have anger issues. I think you have communication issues. But she's right to the extent that clearly your response to any confrontation is just to leave. And that's not okay, because, in fact, your assumptions that everything's okay are not accurate. And so she just feels abandoned. You're also giving her the message that anytime you're angry, I'm going to leave you. And it's not only that I will leave you in the circumstance, but if you in any way bring it up again, we're done. And if you care about this woman, then you need to make her understand that adults can disagree profitably. It may be that you have to turn down the volume. It may be that you have to, and it's okay for you to say, for example, I need 3 minutes or I need 5 minutes. Let me just go into the other room and wash, you know, wash my hands or splash cold water on my face. Then we'll come back and talk about this. But you have to come back and talk about it. You can't slam out and you can't assume it's done. So I think at this moment, what I would go back to her and say is my understanding is that it makes you really unhappy and feeling abandoned when you get angry with me and I just leave and then assume everything's okay. So I guess I really need to be willing to talk with you when you're angry with me, but it would help me if you would. And then you're allowed to sort of say if you'd be specific about it, if you wouldn't say you always, you never, if you wouldn't yell at me, if you wouldn't, I mean, you're allowed to tell her some of the things that would make it easier for you to deal with it. But you got to sit there, and you're allowed no more than a couple of minutes, and you got to tell her you're going to do that. You're going to say, would it be okay with you if I just went in the other room, counted to 10 slowly, you know, washed my hands and came right back? Don't do it without telling her. The two of you really need to set up some ground rules about how you disagree with each other.
I see.
Okay?
Got it. Sounds good.
Good enough. Alan, you're on the air. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. Hi.
Hello, doctor. I called you about a month ago, and I asked you how I can tell my mom that I got a tattoo.
Right.
And she just found out, not by me. It was my uncle. He saw
Alan,
it.
Alan, that I told you should tell her before she found out. Not a very smart thing to do. I know. Well, I'm not sure why people call up and ask my advice and ignore it, but it's pretty common. So, all right. So, what's today's issue? She found out you have a tattoo.
Yeah, my uncle told her, and she called me last night, and I was at home. She called and she said she was really disappointed. She was really mad at me, and so then after a little while, she hanged up on me. And I didn't want to call her back because I know she was really mad, so I just said, okay.
So what's the question to me?
My question is, how do I deal with it now?
Well, Alan, listen. When you called me before, I told you that you should tell her. I also told you, because that's a grown-up thing to do. Look, if you act like a kid, if you act like a baby, I'm not going to tell my mom because she'll be mad. She's going to treat you like a baby, which is, you're a bad boy. I'm really disappointed in you. So, Alan, this is much more about you and you being cowardly and childish, and then she acts like you're 4 years old. So if you don't want to be treated like a four-year-old, don't act like a four-year-old. So what you do is let it go for, you know, be stupid and cheerful, and just, you know, let it go. It's your body. You can do anything you want. But you should have told her before someone else did. That was really childish and silly. So, you know, be stupid and cheerful and let it go. Don't call her back right now. She'll just get mad at you.
Yeah, the moral of the story being, if you don't want to be treated like a child, don't act like a child. That if you're old enough to get your own tattoo, that you tell somebody about it before they find out about it, because it makes you look sneaky. And the point is, if you're old enough to do it, you're old enough to take responsibility for it, and you knew she wasn't going to be happy about it, and that's what we talked about initially. So what I said is, tell her before she finds out. And the way you can tell her is not, ha-ha, Mom, I did something you won't like, but, and hopefully it says Mom on it. No, it probably doesn't. Of saying, Mom, would you like to get a tattoo to match mine? I mean, I suppose that's one of the approaches. And of course she's going to say no, but at that moment you're not defensive, you're sort of staying out your own claim. But the idea that, and also it's going to offend your mother that your uncle knew before she did. So not only did you act like a child about it, but she feels that she was publicly embarrassed because you trusted somebody else with the information before you trusted her. So, all right, think about what you're doing, why you're doing it. Take responsibility for your behavior. And in this particular case, I just let it go for a while and see what happens. But, I mean, you could have avoided at least some of this. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
For Life with Dr. Joy Brown. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
I was talking about this new study out of Harvard, and what they discovered was that commuting time has emerged as the single strongest factor in the odds of escaping poverty. The longer an average commute in a given county, the worse the chances of low-income families there moving up the ladder. Okay, and obviously, the farther you are away from a viable income source, and the longer the commute, the cheaper the real estate values, right? So the where people can afford to live, quite often they can afford to live because there's not public transportation, which increases the real estate values. They said that it's more important than crime, elementary school test scores, or the percentage of two-parent families in the community. It doesn't say education, which is, although it does say elementary school test scores, which I suppose is innate ability. They did a separate study. They looked at Atlanta, Boston, Dallas, Denver, Los Angeles, New York, Orlando, and Birmingham. They also, there was a separate study that was done out of NYU in New York that came to a similar conclusion. The study compared neighborhoods by accessibility to mass transit and the number of jobs within an hour's commute. It found that residents of the areas least well served by mass transit relied on personal vehicles. Areas in the middle third, those with some but insufficient access to transportation, had the highest rates of unemployment and the lowest incomes. Which is something to really think about. The idea being that if it takes too long to get to a job, then the amount of time that you can spend at work earning a living obviously is decreased. As I said, my daughter and I have both been proponents for a long time of education being the way out. And her revelation was serving on a jury. And understanding with, and she was on, I guess, the grand jury, so she served for like a year and a half. So it was a long time and being exposed to a lot of criminal behavior and understanding that education in and of itself isn't enough, in that you have to change the context. And her thing was that if you take one kid, for example, out of a family or out of a neighborhood and give them a scholarship to someplace, that unless you can provide a consistent, ongoing environment, which is more than the school year, because when they go home at Christmas, when they go home over the summer, they're going to be back in the same area, the same neighborhood with the same friends, the same family situation, the same structure, and there's going to be a huge push. I mean, think about, we're talking about adolescence at this point, right? You go away to college at like 18. So at 18... you're now far away from the kids that, and hopefully you did well at school. If you didn't do well at school, you can imagine this, the problem just balloons. So you're the one, you're the only one who's escaped. All the rest of the kids want to go out, and they have job. They may have jobs, which means they have a little bit more disposable income, and they want to do things that are consistent with the neighborhood. So the idea of studying or bettering yourself, not to mention you don't want to feel like you're lording it over to them that you're at school, and they may tease you about it. So. And so you have the dropout rate is huge. The kids, we know that kids tend, of any age, tend to lose a lot of their knowledge over the summer. It's why a lot of people are in favor of the year-round school, not only for a whole bunch of reasons. First of all, for just plain retention of information on any level. Second of all, because so many parents are working, you've got either single-parent families or you've got two-parent families, but both need to work to maintain a lifestyle. Third, I mean, when you're talking about college, you're getting people out into the workforce quicker. So there are a whole lot of reasons to make school a year-round proposition as opposed to off for the summers. On any level, it makes it much, much more sensible. But then you have to figure out context. And then when you add in the issue of transportation and being able to find not only a job, but like-minded people that who are educated or have the same lifestyle or have the same perspective, it becomes really important. And presumably that is what we're trying to do. And we're a country that believes that literally the sky's the limit, that you're not limited by who your parents were or who came over in the Mayflower, what the color of your skin is or your sex or anything else. But the idea being we need to have better public transportation if we're in fact going to help people become upwardly mobile and escape poverty. Education is certainly part of it, but in and of itself, it's not enough. So it's a really eye-opening, interesting kind of study with a problem and a solution inherent in it. And interestingly enough, in Detroit, which, as you know, has had huge kinds of setbacks. But my sense of Detroit, of course, and I don't live there, is that it is a city that is really truly working on solutions because it was so dependent on the auto industry. And then when the auto industry tanked, so did Detroit. But they've done really sort of interesting things. And one of the things that they did, which was, I thought, interesting but hugely controversial, is saying to people, look, we need to consolidate. It was a very spread out metropolitan area and saying we can't deliver. What we're doing is diluting our services, including transportation, including police and fire, including education. So we'll have a bunch of schools that are underutilized. So we need to sort of group people together better so that we can have better education, we can have better transportation, we can have better public services. And of course, people are reluctant to do that. The idea of moving to a different neighborhood than the one you've grown up in because they're going to be better services, little iffy. People weren't thrilled about it. And it was considered a very bold move. And I don't know, because this is a relatively recent phenomenon, how successful it was being. But it was a very interesting way of looking at a problem. Instead of spreading limited resources over a very large geographical area, the idea was if we can consolidate the people, we can consolidate the services, and everybody wins. Except it's hard to get people to move out of their homes. That was one of the issues. Detroit's also done some interesting things like community gardens and giving unutilized houses to artistic, or maybe both, people at very lower or non-existent rents. So, I mean, look, the nice thing about human beings is I think we do quite often ride the challenge, maybe not as quickly or as readily as we'd like, but, and I actually, we'll start next hour, I'll tell you what's going on in the world, just because it always fascinates me of how often a date in history correlates to something that's going on currently. But there's also a really cool solution to a generic problem in the United States. So I'll tell you about that next hour as well. I'll tell you about movies coming up. Not going to be one of those weeks where we're going to go, woo, because we know what the number one movie is going to be again. Yeah, it's going to be The Avengers. What can I tell you? But probably for the next couple of weeks. But you may want to, if you've already seen The Avengers, or Avengers are not your cup of, Coca-Cola, I guess, something. I'll tell you some other little movies that you might get a kick out of. So all of that coming up. Also, your phone calls. I would say don't call me in the last minute, except every time I do that, somebody does, so I won't. 855-99-DR-JOY, 855-993-7569. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
The show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.